Words of that song, I chose that specifically because of what I'm speaking on this morning. Today I'm going to be speaking on the light of the world. And I want you to think about what we just sang. Trust God's word. I'm going to be using a lot of scripture this morning, so keep your fingers nimble. I trust that you will be ready to turn to a lot of passages. I will be quoting some. I've written a lot out. But there are just some that I want us to look at because these are all promises from God's word about being a light in this world, about our responsibility to be a light in this world. What does it mean to be a light in this world? Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3 says this: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." Now notice, the first thing God created is light. There was a void of nothingness, and it was dark. Then God spoke into existence, light. Even before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day, he brought light to his creation. He made it possible to have light. So what is light? To understand light, we must understand darkness. You see, absence of light is darkness. Nothing produces darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. We have to have the light to fight off the darkness. Darkness is just there without light. So the result of nothing is darkness. No sun, no light for the day, or reflected light off the moon by night. Now the word light is full of rich meaning and symbolism as is referenced in the Bible. And you've probably already been thinking in your minds all the different times you've heard light preached on and how it's referenced in the Bible. To fully study out each thought and meaning would take way more time than we have here this morning. And it covers the actual physical light, as I referred to the sun, the stars in the sky, the reflected light from the sun onto the moon. All these lights that God created and sustains, has sustained from the moment he created them, the sun, moon, and stars, to the light that we create as man that is dim and inadequate compared to what God has created. There is no way we could ever equal what God has created. But we have lights in our building so that we can see. We have lights at night on the streets so that we can see to drive and see the pathways, the roads, and things around us. So it covers those actual physical lights, that thing that causes us to be able to see things, what comes into our eyes and allows us to see colors, and all the different things that we see. So it refers to that light, but it also covers the spiritual light that we must have as Christians. The spiritual light that God gives to us. And he illustrates that throughout his word in many ways. Think of maybe the light that God provided to the Jews in Egypt when he led them out of Egypt. When the land was covered in darkness in Egypt, the Jews had light. Or the pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness by night. Think about the transfiguration of Christ and the description of the light that shone upon that mount. Or lastly, the light that struck down Saul on the road to Damascus. We've looked at that on Sunday nights. Pastor's been preaching about the conversion of Saul in the book of Acts. And think about that light that struck him down, the power of that light, the power of God grabbing a hold of a man who was so determined to fight him and to fight the cause of Christianity. And God struck him with a great light. And as I looked at all these things and looked at the word light, I was just fascinated. The Lord brought to mind, you know, how do we look at light in the Bible? And so, of course, I looked in the concordance and I looked all the different words up and found the words that I wanted to focus on as far as thinking about being a light, a spiritual light in this world. And so I looked up all those references of those terms, both in the Old and the New Testament, the Hebrew and the Greek, that meant the same thing, that meant the same principle of being a light in this world, or giving a spiritual light, giving a spiritual knowledge, enlightenment to see things spiritually that God wants us to see. So this covers the mental, the moral, and the spiritual realms of God, angels, and men. Because all these things God has given to us physically, the lights that we think of physically in the illustrations, they all reveal or prepare the way for the symbol of inner spiritual light that Jesus Christ brings to us, that Jesus Christ made possible by his death on the cross. So today I want to focus on the light of God and the light of the Christian. If you're taking notes, that's your 2 points, the light of God and the light of the Christian. And I want to focus on the light of God and the light of the Christian in this, affecting the spiritual darkness of this world. How does the light of God affect the spiritual darkness of this world? How does the light of the Christian affect the spiritual darkness in this world? I want us to understand the answers to these questions. What does it mean to be a light in this world? What does it mean to be able to see or understand truth and righteousness? Why do unsaved men who show great intelligence otherwise seem to be blind to common sense truth that we as Christians can understand? What seems so simple to us, so easy to understand, the world does not get. The world cannot comprehend. Why? To answer these questions, we must understand light in reference to God as a source and the Christian as its outlet. Now, normally I like to do expository messages, you know, pick a passage and just kind of break it down. But we're going to be doing a topical message this morning. That's why we're going to be going to a whole lot of different scriptures, because the topic is light. And there's just a whole wealth of references to the light. I'm not even going to cover everything that just refers to this light. I've just picked out a few things to give us the principles that we need to understand this morning. But first of all, as I said, we're going to look at the fact that God is light. If you'd like to take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 2, we'll be getting there shortly in this first point. But we need to understand that God is light. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia is referring to creation when the writer says this about light. He says, "The origin of light thus finds its explanation in the purpose and the very nature of God, whom John defines as not only the author of light, but in an all-inclusive sense, as light itself." And John, the apostle, the writer, sums it up very succinctly and very clearly for us in 1 John 1:5 with this very phrase, "God is light." God is light. How do we see that? Well, first of all, we need to see that light is an attribute of his holiness. You see, God is light because we see that as an attribute of his holiness. He shows us his light as part of his holiness. Psalm 27, 1a says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Psalm 43:3, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Remember, we're talking about light as an illumination of who God is, of what is truth, of what is righteousness. That's the light we're talking about. And the psalmist here says, "Lord, show me your light." There's all kinds of references in the Psalms to the light that the psalmist begs and pleads to God that he would show, that he would give to the psalmist and to his people. But then we turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We read verses 2 through 5. I want us to see this especially, these verses. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." Now remember, we're talking about the last days. "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Now look at verse 5. "O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Knowing all that is to come, knowing all of this prophecy, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the illumination and the spiritual knowledge of God our Father. Because God alone is light. All these things cannot come to pass until God is in full control of this earth. Until God has fulfilled all that he has prophesied and come to rule and reign upon this earth. Then and only then will the spiritual illumination be upon this earth to help people to see, and that swords shall be turned into plowshares. That no more will battle be upon this earth. It will be a time of peace because God has shown himself to be who he is. And that he truly is the one who alone can rule and reign in this earth completely. And then as I said in 1 John 1:5, I mentioned just those three words, but the full verse says this: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The first thing we have to understand about God being light is that it is an attribute of his holiness. Secondly, we need to understand that light is a result of his will. That spiritual light only comes when he wills it. Without God empowering it, we can have no light. It is a result of something he does in us. His will in us. And it's not just to see the light, but it is his will oftentimes to prevent the light. You say, how can God's being light, how can God make men not see light? Well, because of their spiritual darkness. That's what we have to understand. You see, God's power over all men is sometimes because of their rebellion, because of our wickedness, because of what we choose to do, because of our sin nature, God causes confusion. Turn to Job chapter 12, verses 16 through 25, if you would, please. Job chapter 12, verses 16 through 25, are a little more lengthy passage, but I want us to see how Job talks about God's divine wisdom and all-powerfulness. This is where Job has, obviously, we all know the story of Job and what he went through. And now he has been reproved by some of his so-called friends. He has been encouraged or advised, however you want to put it. And now Job speaks about what he knows to be true about God. And he says, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 12, "With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his." Okay, so God controls the deceived, the wicked of this world. And the deceiver, God controls Satan, okay, the one who brings darkness. "He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools." In other words, they show themselves to be fools because they show that they are not wise. He looseth the bond of kings, and he girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Notice, he brings all these leaders, all these men who are supposedly great, all these positions of leadership, authority, and power, he shows them to be fools because he wants to illustrate the shadow of death upon this earth. He wants men to understand how dark this world really is. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. God is light, but because of the wickedness of this world, he has to use that light to illustrate how dark this world really is. That comparison between God and this world shows us how dark of a world we actually live in. When we come to the light of his word and we read in his word who God is, what he is, his attributes, his holiness, his being light, if we honestly look at all those things, we can only see how dark of a world we actually live in. So it is a result of his will that his being light shows us the confusion of the darkness of the world. Think about it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God brought darkness to the sight of all mankind. What did the serpent tell Eve in the garden? He says, eat of this fruit and you will have what? The knowledge of God. You will be able to see things like God. He lied. You see, Adam and Eve had better vision before they fell. After the fall, yes, they understood some things that they did not understand before, but darkness came upon their minds. If you think about it, if you look at what Adam and Eve, what happened to them after the fall, we have to say that they fell into darkness. They could not handle knowing what that sin caused them to know. And that sin caused them to fall into darkness and to become blind. And it's all because God created this earth to be perfect, to be whole, to serve him, to have fellowship with man. He created us to be good. He looked at his creation and he said, it is good. But when man fell, darkness came into this earth. And God had to blind the eyes of mankind because of their sin. Now, without the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us, we cannot see the truth and righteousness as we ought in this life. We are blind. So God is light because it is an attribute of his holiness. Because God is light, we see that darkness is willed upon this earth. But thankfully, because he is light, that light still has an effect on this earth. And we see the effect of his ministry on earth through the light of his son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7 says this, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and turn them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God prophesied many times in Isaiah about the coming Messiah. The Jews held on to that hope that that Messiah was coming. And we know of many famous passages that talk about the promised Messiah. We just came through the Christmas season celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure we've heard or reviewed some of those verses, but I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 59. The last few verses in Isaiah 59 going into chapter 60, the first few verses of chapter 60, because here we see the light, the prophesied light of God and the effect that it's going to have on the darkness of this world. The promise that God gave. Now, God's light was already having an effect on this world. Okay? God was already working through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these men of faith all through the Old Testament. But here we're looking in the context of messianic prophecy. Here is the prophecy of the Son of God, the promised Messiah coming to this earth. And in chapter 59 and verse 20, the last two verses, 20 and 21 of chapter 59, it says this, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." And then going on into chapter 60, "Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." We have to understand that this was even prophesied in the coming Messiah, that God would bring a light to this world and cause people to see and understand what he had been talking about all these years since he began creation. When he talked about light, he needed his people to understand what he was talking about. He had given them over and over again instructions on how to follow him, how to honor him, how to love him, what he desired from them. But as man is so apt to do, they had turned tradition into stronger than God's word, and they had twisted God's word. And God knew that was going to happen. He had seen it happening already. And so he gave the prophecy that when the Messiah comes, the light will be shown. And it will not be just to the Jews this time. It will be also to the Gentiles, to the whole world. This light will come. And now we go down to verses 19 and 20 of chapter 60. He says this, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day." Again, we're back to the prophecy of the end days when God rules upon this earth. "Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." Now we talk about the future, how that there will be no sun and that God shines. And yes, God is the light of the New Jerusalem, of the new world, the new heaven, and new earth. But even in this passage, remember, we're talking about this term, light, is the term that talks about spiritual enlightenment. Yes, we will have that physical light to see, but understand that the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting spiritual light, and thy God, thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. You see, it is prophesied that the Lord Jesus will come as the Messiah, number one, to make the gospel possible. If Jesus had not come, it would not be possible. It was prophesied. Psalm 36, verse 9 said, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see the light." And then Isaiah 49, 6, "And he," that is God the Father, "said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel." Again, he's talking about his prophecy of the Messiah. "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." So God, his effect of his light, of his ministry on earth, is seen in Jesus Christ. It was prophesied, and it was fulfilled in Jesus' acknowledgement of his coming. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Jesus makes very clear that he understands that he is to be the light of the world. Now, this is talking about Jesus. This isn't Jesus speaking here in chapter 1. But this is a summation by the Apostle John of who Jesus is, his recognition of what he understood Jesus to be as he wrote these words many, many years after the other gospel writers. And so he writes these words, he pens these words, and he says in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then he talks about himself. There was a man sent from God, or he talks about John the Baptist, excuse me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus fulfilled his purpose, his calling, by being the light of this world with his life. And in John 12:46, he says very clearly, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Again, there's so much I could cover, but for lack of time, I have to be very careful and just give us a few verses. But I want us to understand this thought, that Jesus knew why he was here. It was to bring light to the darkness of this world. He had been there at creation when all was created. He had been there when Adam and Eve fell and darkness came upon this earth. He had been there all these years, seeing how wickedness and sinfulness continued to darken this world. And he knew his purpose. He knew his calling to be a light in this world. And he fulfilled it. He made the gospel possible, and he made the gospel clear. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Jesus not only did it by his living, he did it by his speaking. He made it very clear, without question. He said, I am the light of the world. Follow me. Do what I tell you, and you will not walk in darkness. You shall have the light of life. So Jesus came as the light to be the physical manifestation of God upon this earth, to be the light of the world that had been prophesied. He did all that to make the gospel possible. He did all that to make the gospel clear. He did it as he lived, but he also did it to strengthen the believer. Psalm 89, verse 15 says this, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Micah 7, verses 7 through 8 says this, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. This spiritual enlightenment gives us strength. The light of God gives us strength. And that is our hope. That is what keeps us going in dark days such as this. That God is light. And because God is light, we now come to our second point, that we as Christians are to be light. What does that mean? Why do we have to be light? Why can't God do it all? God sent his son. God sent his son to be the Messiah. He sent his son into the world to be the light. Isn't that enough? No. God has called you and me to be light in this dark world, to continue the work of his son, Jesus Christ, because it is so desperately needed. See, men naturally, because of the sin nature, love darkness. They love the darkness that they live in. It is natural for us to be in darkness, spiritually speaking, because that is our nature. Proverbs 4 says this, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." It's natural for them. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Boy, do we see that today. "That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This is why we have to be light. John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Because it's their nature. This is why we must be light as Christians. And why do we have to do it? Why is it not enough that Jesus did it? Because Jesus referred to it in John chapter 12. He said this, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you." In other words, I'm with you for a little while. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And then Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Why must we be light? Because it is so desperately needed, as we have seen in these verses and many others. So what do we see about being a light as Christians? I want us to see two things. Number one, our light must be a reflection of God's holiness. And number two, our light must be an effect of our ministry on earth. You see, we are not holy like God is. We looked at the fact that God, it is an attribute of him, his holiness. That light, his being light, is an attribute of his holiness. As Christians, we need to be a reflection of that. We need to reflect God's holiness, his attributes, in being a light. And so Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Is that it? "And what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven." It all comes back to God. Do we reflect who God is in being a light in this world? Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." In other words, Paul is saying, you used to be in darkness. This church that I'm writing to at Ephesus, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Why did he have to give that verse? Why did he have to write that in his letter to the church at Ephesus and to the other churches? Because again, we still have that sin nature. That darkness still dwells within us. And he had to remind them, "You are children of light. Walk like it. Act like it." As my father said, "You are a terrene. Act like it." What did that mean? That's all he had to say. That meant, I trained you better than that. You continue on the path you're on, you're going to be an embarrassment to your mother and I. Do what I told you to do. Do the right thing. And that's what Paul is telling to the church at Ephesus. You're a child of God. Act like it. Walk in the light. And then Philippians 2:15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world." We are to be a reflection of God's holiness in this world. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have had a wondrous work done in your body, in your life. Now live it. Rejoice in it. Live joyfully in the light of God. Be a child of God. Reflect his light. Reflect his holiness. We are to be a reflection of God's holiness. And when we are, then we have an effect in our ministry upon this earth. Jesus had it. He fulfilled his calling. He fulfilled his purpose of being a light in this world, of bringing light and knowledge, spiritual enlightenment to this world, in living his life, in preaching what he preached, in teaching what he taught. Now we as his disciples have the responsibility to continue that ministry upon this dark world. What are some of our examples? We'll look at just a few of these. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. I've already referenced it a little bit in John chapter 1 when we talked about John the Baptist. But Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. Here, John the Baptist has been born, and now his father has been enabled to speak once again because he has fulfilled what was told, that his son was born and they would name him John. And now his father Zacharias is speaking, and he's talking about his son that has just been born. And he says this in verse 76, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." He's saying, this child, you my son, your purpose is to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. You will see him. You will be the preparation immediately before he has his ministry. And so he prepared the way. And now we look at Paul in Acts chapter 13, and we see how Paul, the last apostle, shone this light, preached this light, taught this light, and exhorted the churches to shine this light. Chapter 13, verses 47 through 48. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas here. It says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Paul and Barnabas said, we are fulfilling our commission to the Gentiles. We are to be a light to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, the light came on. Not to be flippant about it, but the light came on. They understood because the Holy Spirit empowered them to believe. And they rejoiced to have that knowledge. And they were ordained to eternal life. And then on to chapter 26 of Acts. Acts chapter 26, verses 15 to 18. Again, Paul is before Agrippa, and he's giving a rehearsal of what God did to him, how he came to the light, how the light had an effect on him, the call that Paul had to his ministry. So Acts chapter 26, verses 15 through 18. He said, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul says, I know why I'm here. I know why God called me. To give the light. And that's what Paul, in his writings to these churches, says, now it's your turn. It's not all on me. It's not on Barnabas. It's not on all these great leaders who you have sent out. It is on each and every one of us as Christians to give that light. Paul says, we have done it. I have done it. That's what God called me to do. I have been your example. That's why he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my ministry as I have ministered for Christ. As I have been a light, so you should be a light. It is a commission to each one of us to be that light. And so, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it is our calling. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You can say, oh, I'm going to go hide in my house. I've got the gospel. I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. I'm saved. But do you hide it? If you do, you hide it from the others who are lost, others who need to hear it. He says, so if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is fighting every day to keep people from turning to Christ. He works hard to keep this world in darkness. It is up to us to break forth with the light of God and to shine in this world. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of their darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is our calling. Men and women, we are to be that light. But only as we reflect the true light of God can we fulfill our purpose. How can we? We're so filled with that sin nature that still dwells within us. We still have that darkness within us, battling against the light that as children of God is within us as well. We have those two natures. The question is, which one are you going to allow to be stronger in your life? Which one are you going to fight against, and which one will you develop? It is only done by God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us and empowering us to be that light. Without him, we're nothing. God wants all men to come to the light so they can walk in the light for all future eternity. That's why I referenced many of those passages in Isaiah, talking about the end days, the last days, because it all points to the end when we, as believers, finally are face to face with our Lord and Savior, with the God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And we can bask in that light. We can rejoice to be in the light of God for all eternity. And we see that reference in Revelation chapter 21. I'm sure it's very familiar. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. But all of that happens because of what you and I do today. Now, here's the hard point. As I said, this has been a topical message. I could apply this in so many ways and spend way more time. I've got to close here. But I think we all have heard the scripture enough. As you listen to Pastor preach this year, as you listen to anyone preach from this pulpit this year, take those words and remember this precept. I am to be a light in this world. How can I take what has been said this morning, this evening, in this message that I've just heard, and be a light to this world? Because this very topic of being a light covers so much. It's a very broad and general thing to preach on this morning. But we each, with the power of the Holy Spirit, can take what we hear preached and what we read in our devotions from the Bible, what we sing in messages of songs that have been written scripturally, that the Holy Spirit brings to mind and burdens our heart with. How can I be a light with this? Because God calls us to do it. And too many times we fail. We are not the light that we ought to be. I include myself. We all fail and we all fall horribly. But my burden this year for myself, and I trust that you will take this as well, is that you will be a light in this dark world. Take the truth that God has given us in his word and be a light. Just as physical light has an effect on overcoming the darkness around us at night, God has placed and empowered us to have a spiritual effect on the spiritual darkness of this world. We can see the wickedness all around us. That's not arguable. It is there. If we are living and thinking according to God's word, we see it. This world doesn't see it because they're dark. They don't comprehend it. But we can be easily overwhelmed by frustration and at the seeming ignorance or apathy of those we thought were good people. And this is what we have to get over. Quit calling them good people if they're not saved. Oh, but they're moral. They're nice. They do good things. Doesn't matter. They're not saved. They're not children of light. Don't be frustrated at their seeming ignorance, but you won't be frustrated because you remember that they are at enmity with God. Remember when I preached on Romans chapter 8 and we talked about that the carnal mind is enmity against God. What did that mean? That doesn't mean that, oh, well, I don't really like that. That means I'm fighting against it. I am battling against everything that is good against God because I am not a child of God. That's what it means to be enmity with God. And that's who this world is. They are at enmity with God. Oh, they do nice things. And they have a moral compass because we all have a conscience because of how God has created us. But remember, this dark world is at enmity with God. It is a battle. We must speak the truth in love as Jesus did, but we must speak the truth because we have to shine the light. If we dilute the truth, we hide that light. Be a light in this world. Do not despair. Do not give up. Go in the power of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul gives this to his son in the ministry, Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Claim that, and live Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If you do so, you will be the light that God has called you to be in this wicked and dark world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly